Our Bible readings this afternoon come to us from the Gospel of John, and we're looking at chapter 6, so I'd encourage you, if you have a Bible, to open to John chapter 6. The words will also be up on the screen behind me. So we have two sections that we're reading from John. First of all, verses 35 to 40, and then we move across to verses 60 to 71. So we're reading first from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And then we go across to verse 60, and we read from there to the end of the chapter. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Amen. My friends, there's an extremely important question that we're thinking about here tonight. It's a question that has divided Christians down through the centuries. It's a question that has deep and lasting impact on our own spiritual well-being. And the question is this: can a person redeemed by Jesus ever fall away? Can a Christian ever become a non-Christian again? Can a true believer ever lose their salvation? Here's one answer that was once given to this question. It says, "True believers can fall from true faith and can fall into such sins as cannot be consistent with true and justifying faith. Not only is it possible for this to happen, but it even happens frequently. True believers are able to fall through their own fault into shameful and atrocious deeds, to persevere and to die in them, and therefore finally to fall and to perish." That statement comes from a document written in the year 1618 called The Opinion of the Remonstrants. These remonstrants were followers of Jacobus Arminius, the father of Arminian theology. And as you can see from their words, they strongly believe that the answer to our question tonight is yes. They say a true believer can lose their salvation. But do you know that their views are still popular today? For just one example, consider the official position of the Assemblies of God, who represent 68 million believers worldwide. including the Australian Christian Churches, the largest Pentecostal group in this country. Their official position paper on this matter says this: "The General Council of the Assemblies of God disapproves of the unconditional security position which holds that it is impossible for a person once saved to be lost." They disapprove of that understanding. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this just raises some really big questions, some big concerns. It makes me wonder what kind of God would save people and then lose them again. It makes me wonder what kind of salvation could be experienced just for a short time. It makes me wonder how I could ever have any kind of assurance or peace, knowing that one day I could be lost forever and condemned to hell. But what about you? How would it affect you if you really believed that you could lose your salvation? It's not a pleasant thought, is it? But isn't that exactly why we need to go back to God's Word and to find His truth on this vital matter? And I want to start tonight in that first passage that we just read from John chapter 6. As you saw, Jesus is speaking to his followers. And listen to what he says. Verse 35. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.' Verse 37. 'All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.' Verses 39 and 40. 'This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.'" Here in this passage, Jesus himself tells us something about those who come to him, who look to him, who believe in him, whom the Father has given to him. And what he says about those people is that they will never, ever be in spiritual need. They will never be driven away. They will never be lost. But they will have eternal life and be raised on the last day. Here, my friends, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms this most glorious truth, that those who trust in him will never, ever lose their salvation. But is this a one-off teaching? Is this a red herring in only one passage of Scripture, or do we find it elsewhere? Well, just a few chapters later, Jesus says something similar. John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." My friends, if we follow Jesus, then we shall never perish. No one can snatch us out of his or his Father's hand. What a wonderful comfort that is. But there's still more. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Philippians chapter 1. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That is why I'm suffering as I am, Paul writes. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And in chapter 4, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And last but not least, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Oh my friends, what a glorious litany of assurance and of comfort and of joy. The Lord makes it abundantly clear that those who trust in him will never be lost. They will never be cut off from his love, but they will be kept firm until the very end, for he will carry us safely to his heavenly kingdom. Can a true believer lose their salvation? The Lord says no, that could never be. And flowing from this truth comes a beautiful doctrine which theologians call the perseverance of the saints. The fact that God's people will persist and be preserved in faith and redemption until the end. This reassuring doctrine is fundamental to our Reformed understanding of Scripture. It's the P in the acronym of TULIP, the 5 points of Calvinism, and we find it throughout our confessions. For example, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, says that our only comfort is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. And a few lines later, it says that because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life. Westminster Confession, chapter 17, says, "They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved." And then there's the Canons of Dort, a confession that was specifically written to respond to Arminius and the Remonstrants. It has pages and pages on this matter, but listen to just one snippet from Part 5, Article 3. It says, "Those who have been converted could not remain standing in this grace if left to their own resources, but God is faithful, mercifully strengthening them in the grace once conferred on them and powerfully preserving them in it to the end." Congregation, God's word teaches, and therefore we believe in, the perseverance of the saints. And so we are convinced that a true believer can never lose their salvation. And this knowledge should fill us with deep confidence and assurance and gratitude to our God. But yet there's an issue that we can't ignore, isn't there? An elephant in the room. For no matter how strongly we believe this truth, we cannot deny that there are Christians who seem to fall away, who turned from Jesus and seemed to be lost. In recent years, there have been some very high-profile examples of this. In 2017, Nicole Mitchell was a pastor in a Minnesota megachurch, but then she came out as bisexual, left her husband, and now she works as an online stripper. Maybe you've heard of Joshua Harris, pastor and best-selling Christian author. In 2019, he announced that he's no longer a Christian. In that same year, Marty Sampson, writer of some of Hillsong's most loved songs, posted that he's losing faith and it doesn't bother him because Christianity's just another religion. In 2020, John Steingard, lead vocalist of Christian band Hawk Nelson, revealed that he no longer believes in God. And then there's also Paul Maxwell, author and contributor to John Piper's Desiring God ministry. In 2021, he announced that he's turned his back on his Christian faith. But we don't have to look that far, do we? For we have people in our own lives, don't we, who once walked with the Lord and now have fallen away. Some of them are ministers in our own denomination. Some are members in our own church. Some are loved ones in our own families. So how can this be? If Jesus says that he'll lose none, then why does it sometimes seem that he does? Well, my friends, the answer comes to us in two parts. And we're going to think about them by looking at two men named Peter and Judas. For you see, they both followed Jesus, didn't they? And they both fell away. But yet the reasons and the outcomes were very different. So let's start with Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And we read about him in John chapter 6. In verses 66 to 68, it says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Whilst there are many who did not believe, we're told that Peter most certainly did. He truly believed in Jesus for his salvation and his eternal life. But what happened later? Well, in John chapter 18, there was a servant girl. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." A few verses later it says, "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, 'You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?' He denied it, saying, 'I am not.' One of the high priest's servants challenged him, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?' Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow." Peter was a true believer, but now he denies the Lord in the strongest possible way. So has he become an unbeliever? Has he lost his salvation? It certainly looks like it. But the story goes on, doesn't it? And then there's John chapter 21. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.'" And I'm sure you know that Jesus asks him two more times. And Peter replies two more times in the same way. Three times, once for each denial. And as he did, Jesus restored him. But Peter didn't only continue to love and trust the Lord, but he became the very rock upon which the New Testament church was built. In Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, it was Peter who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who preached the gospel in power, and through whom the first 3,000 converts were saved that very day. And so, my friends, we have in Peter an example of a true believer who fell away for a time, but the Lord brought him back. He was like that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, who left his father and squandered his wealth until he found himself in the pig pen. But then he came to his senses. He set out from home, and his father welcomed him with open arms. And you know, my friends, we need to remember this when we see people drift from God, when we see our own loved ones drift from God. If they are a true believer, then God will bring them back. It may take years, it may take decades, but He is faithful. And so we don't give up hope, but we keep on praying that the Lord will turn them around. But we must also remember, friends, that we ourselves have times when we backslide, when we have doubts, when we fall into sin, when we feel far from God. But if our faith is true, then Jesus will never let us go. He will never lose us. He will complete His work in us, and He will carry us safely to His eternal home, to our eternal home. What the Westminster Confession says, those who are saved can drift away for a time, but they can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace. So while we do believe in the perseverance of the saints, we also know that true believers can stumble. But when a true believer stumbles, the Lord does not let them go. But now we also need to think about that other man, Judas, another of the 12, also mentioned in John chapter 6. But his situation was so different. For while in this passage we're told of Peter's faith, about this man Judas, there is no such claim. Did you notice in our first reading, Jesus said to his own followers, "But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." And then in the second reading, "Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And a verse later it says, "From this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Even among Jesus' own disciples, those who followed him here on this earth, those who saw him with their own eyes and who heard him with their own ears, there were many who didn't truly believe. And then listen to verses 70 and 71. After Peter confesses his faith, it says, "Then Jesus replied, 'Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.'" He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Do you see, my friends? Jesus declared that even though many turned away in unbelief, that the 12 were true believers, chosen for eternal life, but even one of them was not, and that one was Judas. So what happened with him? Even though Judas was with Jesus all those years, had heard his teachings, had seen his miracles, at the Last Supper we're told that Satan entered him, and Jesus told him to go, and he went to betray his Lord, never returning, ultimately taking his own life. And so in Judas we see a man who appeared to all intents and purposes to be a follower of Jesus, but yet he never truly believed. And so in the end he turned away and was condemned. So even though it may seem as though he lost his salvation, my friends, the reality is that he was never saved in the first place. But he's not the only one. Think about the parable of the sower. Jesus tells of those who hear the gospel but don't understand, so they never believe. But he also tells us of those who hear the gospel and receive it with joy, but they have no root and last only a short time. They seem to have faith, but their faith was not real. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says that among other things, he'd been in danger from who? From false believers. In Galatians chapter 2, he says, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, when it comes to the gospel, some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. And in 1 John chapter 2, it says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. You see, we must realize that just because someone is connected to Jesus and his church, and even shows some signs of faith, that does not mean they believe. Calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a true believer. Attending church doesn't make you a true believer. Neither does being baptized, or becoming a church member, or serving in a ministry, or even becoming a pastor. And professing your faith up the front of this church also does not in itself make you a true believer. For true faith, my friends, is in the heart. It's only those who humbly confess their sin before God and genuinely trust in Christ alone for their forgiveness and sincerely seek to live their lives for Him. They are true believers and can be assured of salvation. But those who don't, while they can pretend and fool many, will not be saved. And so when they fall away, it's not that they've lost their salvation, but it's that they never had it to begin with. And the reality is, my friends, that this can happen with people who we know. There will be some who truly believe and backslide for a time like Peter did. But sadly, there will also be others like Judas, who were just putting on a show, but never believed in their heart. But my friends, as we think about this tonight, we need to remember that we cannot see what is in another person's heart. Only they know, and God knows. So we can never judge whether someone who turns away from the Lord is a Peter or a Judas. And all we can do is pray for them and urgently call them back. So friends, this afternoon, we've been reminded that there are times when it seems that a person who once was a Christian has now lost their salvation. But the Bible tells us that can never be. They may be a true believer who falls away from it for a time, but the Lord will bring them back. Or they may be one of those who look like a believer, but yet their faith is not real, and so they were never actually saved. But my friends, we've also been reminded this afternoon that despite what some may say, for those who do put their heartfelt hope in Jesus Christ, our salvation is secure. For it does not depend on us, but on God. And He has promised us that He will never, ever let us go. And so I want to urge you this afternoon to take hold of this truth and to rejoice in it. We can trust in the perseverance of the saints. We can trust that true believers will never lose their salvation. And may that fill us with such deep assurance and comfort, and with such great peace and joy. For Jesus will not lose any of those whom the Father has given Him. Jesus will not lose us, but gives us eternal life and will raise us up at the last day. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the message of your word and for the assurance that it gives us. Father, we are so thankful that you have promised us that you will lose none of those whom you have given salvation to. Lord, we thank you that you hold on to us, that it does not depend on our strength, but only ever on yours, for you are a gracious and a loving God. And so, Father, we thank you that we can know that true believers will never lose their salvation. But Lord, even as we say that, we recognize that there are those who turn away from you. And Lord, we recognize that some of those are very dear to us. And so we want to bring them before you now. Father, we want to bring before you those in our families and among our friends who have drifted away from you. And Lord, we do not know the reason, but Lord, we trust that you are a good God. Lord, we trust that if they had believed, that you will bring them back. And Lord, we trust that even if they did not believe, that your arms are always open wide and that they can always come to you for the first time in repentance and in faith. Lord, have mercy on our loved ones. Lord, we pray that you would call them to yourself. Lord, we pray that you would use us to tell them the good news and to show them just how important it is. And Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on their souls. Lord, thank you that you will never let us go. Lord, help us to cling to you no matter what. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.